those Frenchies. Seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That damned elusive Pimpernel.
Presenting Marius Goring, star of the motion picture Red Shoes, as Baron Adorsky's immortal character, the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Affaires de cœur, les affaires de guerre, which means not affairs of the heart, but affairs of war. And that's how it's usually been with Tony Dewhurst and myself. Yet there was an occasion when we found ourselves cast in the roles of matchmakers, and we flatter ourselves we did it rather well. It began one day when we were resting at our beach cottage outside Dover. We were walking along the cliffs when suddenly below us something attracted Tony's attention.
There's someone in the water.
Oh, so there is. Chilly day of a swimming, don't you think?
Swimming? Behind, that fellow's in trouble. He's thrown up his arms and gone under.
Well, he's up again now, waving for help.
Well, we've got to do something.
Well, there's a track down here to the beach.
Come on, then, let's go.
Tony was first to listen to the cliff. As we raced across the sand, he flung off his coat. A quick plunge into the water. And his powerful strokes drew him quickly towards the stricken swimmer. A couple of minutes later, a limp body in his arms, he waded ashore.
Still
alive, thank goodness. Better
get a stretch up to the cottage,
I think. Huh?
Hey, there, it's a girl.
Why?
You wouldn't
have
thought to turn the water.
Put
me like a
tiger. Drowning people always do. Yeah, I put my coat
round
her shoulders, keep her warm. That's it.
Now,
give it to me.
I'll take that.
Don't be a fool, you're just about done in.
It was a bit of a struggle.
You
got her,
all right? Yes, gather up your clothes. Wrap yourself well. The sooner you're both indoors in front of a fire, the better. By the time we'd reached the cottage, the girl had come too. But it wasn't till her clothes had dried and she had a large bowl of hot soup, and till we brushed aside her protestations of gratitude, that we finally heard her story.
First of all, I'd best tell you my name, I suppose. It's Rosemary. Rosemary Bardolph.
That's a good English name.
Where do you come from, Rosemary?
Close by to here, sir. From Sandwich.
Do you live with your parents?
Oh, my father, sir. My mother stayed with Longyear City. Father's Jim Bardolph, the fisherman.
How on earth did you come to be in the water?
I just waded in, sir.
You mean it wasn't an accident?
No, sir.
You went in there deliberately?
Yes, sir.
To drown yourself?
Yes, sir. People waited on me, I know. I'm glad now you chanced along the same thing.
But why? Why did you do it?
I'd rather not play.
You must tell us. Lovely young girls of them. How old are you, Rosemary?
Going on for 19, sir.
A lovely young girl who's going on for 19, don't try to commit suicide, unless it's for a very good reason.
Oh, it was for a good enough reason, sir.
Well, do tell us, please. We may be able to help.
Well, if you must know, it were on account of Pierre.
Pierre?
Pierre L'Etoile, an odd foreign name. He's French.
Well, you mean the L'Etoiles who live in the big white house along the cliffs there?
You know them, sir.
Very well, eh, Tony? Oh,
very well.
Then you must know Pierre, too.
Yes, we know Pierre, too.
It's a small world, as they say. Please, sir, you'll not tell him anything about this, will you?
Not if you don't want us to.
Oh, thank you.
You still haven't explained, you know.
About doing what I did to you. Well, it's because I'm in love with Pierre, you see. And he's in love with me.
Yes,
And nothing can come of it ever.
Well, why not?
Pierre's the gentry, sir. I'm a fisherman's daughter.
Yes, but surely if you're in love with each other...
My father will have none of it, sir. Nor will Pierre.
Well, why not?
He's already obligated, sir.
Engaged to marry someone else, you mean?
Yes, sir. Oh, we met last evening and told him he'd had a big quarrel with his father. But it were no good and he was forbidden to see me again. After he'd gone, I cried all night. And then this morning I went to Longcliffe to... And it all seems so hopeless.
You decided to end it, eh?
Yes, sir.
I see. Well, you come along. We'll take you home now.
Oh, you don't need to bother, sir. I'm all right now, and I know my way.
Well, it's no bother. Besides, I want to meet your father.
You'll not tell you, sir. Please, you must.
On one condition, my dear.
What's that?
That you give us your solemn promise never to try anything so idiotic again.
Oh, I should never do it again, sir. I can see now how foolish it was.
Promise?
I promise.
Jim Bardolph proved to be a tough, durable little man, sun-tanned with a grained face like good British oak. With as much delicacy as we could, we broached the subject of Rosemary and young Latoire. He turned on her at once angrily.
So you've been talking about that again, have you? And the strangers, too. Shame on you, lass.
I'm sorry, Father.
Now, you mustn't blame Rosemary, Mr. Bardolph. You see, we're here. Well, we chanced upon her this morning.
And we could see she was very unhappy, so we persuaded her to tell us.
I assure you, she was most reluctant. If there's any blame, it's ours.
Well, that's just maybe. But what I always say, these private affairs should stay private.
In the normal course, yes, I quite agree. But it so happens we know Pierre Latoile and find that whole thing a little difficult to understand.
How do you mean?
Well, he's a fine young man, steady, reliable, sincere.
I'm not against him personally, if that's what you get at.
Well, then why do you refuse to allow Rosemary to see you?
Because oil and water don't mix, that's why, nor never will.
What you mean?
I mean my daughter's my daughter. He's gentle. No good never comes of such things. Why don't he stick to his own kind?
Because he loves me, that's why. He wouldn't marry me if he could.
Yeah, that's what they are saying. But when it comes to the point, it's a different story.
Pierre's not like that, Father.
Then why don't he marry me? Tell me that.
You know why. Because he's not allowed. Because he's already beholden to another.
Sorry, any excuse be good enough.
I'm sure you do Pierre less than justice.
So am I. Mr. Bardolph, suppose by some means Pierre's parents were persuaded to change their minds. Suppose they agreed to his marrying Rosemary.
Why talk of the impossible?
In our experience, nothing's impossible, but it's proven so. You want your daughter to be happy, don't you?
Aye.
Then if they did approve the match, you'd not approve.
Wait a minute, sir. Now, I've not said that.
No, but you will say it now, won't you?
Well, if they say it's all right, and he still wants to marry her, I'd not stand in her way.
Good. That's all we want to know. Come on, Tony. Where are we going? We're to find Pierre and his father, of course. As we made our way towards the Twelves' home, we were, I must confess, in some little doubt. 5 years ago, at the height of the terror, when Tony and I had brought the Twelves out of France to the safety of England, Pierre had been a boy of 16. Liked him then, admired his steadfastness. But sometimes people change as they grow up. Perhaps old Bardolph had been right about him. Then, as we neared the entrance drive, we saw him. He ran forward eagerly to meet us, and in 2 minutes we knew we'd not been wrong.
I do love her, monsieur. You must believe that from the bottom of my heart.
And you really want to marry her?
It is my greatest wish.
Why don't you just elope with her?
It is not possible.
Well, it's been done before.
I should have thought anything so romantic would appeal to a Frenchman.
No, no, that is popular fallacy. It is you English who are romantic.
Well, I've never noticed it.
It is true, I assure you. The French are the practical ones. First, you see, I am promised to Suzette Deschamps.
Little Suzette? Oh, so that's who you're supposed to marry.
Yes, monsieur. You'll never have that name?
Yes, indeed.
She's only a child. At least she was when she and her parents came to England.
Well, that was 4 years ago. I dare say she's grown up now.
That is almost 18, monsieur. And very lovely.
But not so lovely that you want to marry her.
One does not give his heart to two. Suzette and I have been friends since childhood, but that is all. How does she feel about it, eh? There is a young Englishman, an officer of the guard, the Honorable Rollo Chaussy. And she's in love with him? Yes, I think so. But of course, she's an obedient daughter.
You mean she's going to do what she's told?
Yes, monsieur. Uh-huh. And apart from Suzette, if I were to elope with Rosemary, I would be disobeyed.
Oh, cut off without a penny, eh?
That is what my father has said.
Well, suppose you were. You're not afraid of work, are you?
Oh, no, monsieur. I want to work. In fact, I must tell you, sir, I have a dream. A speak excitedly. You have heard of New South Wales?
The new colony in the South Seas?
Yes.
But that's a convict settlement, isn't it?
Oh, they want free men, too, to till the soil and civilize the wilderness. That is my dream. To go there with Rosemary, to have our own land and farm, to grow wheat for bread and grapes for wine.
Yeah, why don't you take her there?
Money, monsieur, for our passages, to buy land and tools and to build a home.
We could lend you enough.
Thank you, monsieur, but I could not kiss you.
Well, why not?
It is too much to ask. Besides, I am what I suppose you call a dutiful son. Though my father is so difficult over these times. Well, I honor and respect you, citizen. I could not go against his wishes.
I see. One of the answers is that unless your father can be induced to change his mind, you can never hope for this dream of yours to come true.
That is so, monsieur.
Right. Well, we must talk to him. See what we can do.
I am grateful for your interest, but it will do no good.
You will waste your best.
I know.
No harm wasting a little breath now and then in a good cause. Come on, Tony. Yeah, I was right, of course. The Twyla welcomed us as old and valued friends, but as soon as we got onto the subject of Pierre and Rosemary, his face set in stubborn, obdurate lines.
No, no, no. Absolutely and definitely a 1,000 times no.
But
sure. You and your U.S. wanted myself and my family a great service. At much risk to yourself, you brought us out of fear and danger.
And you gave us that something we had forgotten. Freedom. You almost definitely saved our lives.
You exaggerate.
No, 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 no. It is true. I was grateful then and I still am today. I would do anything you want. You know that.
Except the one thing we ask.
That, I am afraid, is impossible. I am Pierre's father. I must be the one who is allowed to decide what is best for his future.
Even fathers can be wrong sometimes.
Surely you must see, monsieur. He really loves this girl.
A mere infatuation.
We don't think so. At any rate, he doesn't love his death.
But what has love to do with marriage?
Well, a great deal, I should thought.
Ah, Pierre is a good boy, Suzette is a good girl. Love will come later.
And if it doesn't?
They are of the one world. They have known each other since they were children. There will always be mutual affection and respect. Oh, then now it is a decision on them.
So that's your final answer as well?
It is.
And the wedding to be, when?
A week from tomorrow.
So soon?
Oh, the sooner it is over, the sooner Pierre will forget his fisherman's daughter. I hope you will both do us the honor to be present.
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Yes, we'll be there, all right.
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
First meeting since the League of the Scarlet Pimpernel had smuggled his family out of France 4 years earlier. Deschamps was delighted. So was I. Not only to meet him again, but to find I had not erred in my recollection of him. He was a big man, tall, about the same build as myself, and that was important. I broached the subject of Pierre and his daughter, but only casually.
Yes, yes, yes. They are to be married a week from today. Pierre and my little Suzette. It seems only yesterday they were children.
You look forward to the marriage, monsieur?
But of course. Our families have been friends for generations. It is good to think they will now be united by even closer bonds.
And Suzette?
Suzette?
She looks forward to it, too.
Why should she not?
Oh, I had heard rumors concerning a certain young officer at the Guards.
You mean Hollow Sorty?
Oh, yes, that was the name, I believe.
Nice boy, Hollow. If there were no Pierre, Suzette could choose a good word.
But there is Pierre.
Exactly, my friend, there is Pierre. She is going to be very happy with my little Suzette.
I hope so. Well, later on, I'd like to talk to her. Offer my congratulations.
Well, there she is in the Rose Garden. Why not talk to her now?
Good idea. I'll see you later, monsieur.
You like Rosie?
Very much.
Oh, so do I. We grew them at home in France, of course. But somehow they were not right there. They are so English.
And you like English things?
Oh, yes, very much.
Particularly a certain young English officer.
Oh, Princess.
I have something important to say to you.
Huh?
Now, I'm going to be absolutely frank, and I want you to be too. Promise?
If you wish it.
Good. Now, you're to marry Pierre Latoile a week from today.
Yes.
You want to marry?
Well,
You promise to be frank?
No, monsieur, I do not.
You know, of course, that Pierre's in love with a girl named Rosemary Bardot.
Yes.
And you are in love with Rollo Cecil.
Oh, monsieur.
Please, Suzette.
Yes, I am.
And is he in love with you?
I do not know.
Oh, you mean he's not declared himself?
No, never.
But you think he is?
I dare to hope, monsieur.
Good. Then if Pierre were to marry Rosemary, you would be able to marry Rollo.
But it isn't possible.
I have a plan, but its success depends very largely on yourself.
On you, monsieur?
On the degree to which you're willing to cooperate.
I will do anything at all.
You really mean that?
Yes.
Splendid. Now, first of all, who's making your wedding dress?
The dressmaker in the village. Her name is Adelaide.
You know her well?
Yes, monsieur.
She is trustworthy. I mean, can you rely on her discretion?
Oh, absolutely, I'm sure.
Well, I want you to go to her today, and you're to tell her to make an exact duplicate of the dress, including the veil. I take it there is to be a veil?
Yes, a thin one.
Ah, then I tell her you've changed your mind. Tell her you want a thick one.
What, monsieur?
Very thick. There are many things to be done during the next week. Rosemary's fears to be allayed, and her cooperation gained. Andrew Fuchs had to be summoned from London, as Tony was otherwise engaged. At last, the day of the wedding came. Ceremony was to be at 4. At 3:30, a carriage containing Deschamps and Suzette left for the church. When suddenly, as the coach rounded a bend...
Hey, you there! Stop! What are you? Whoa! What has happened?
Last highwayman, sir.
Don't be so crude, old sir. We prefer to be known as gentlemen of the road.
Sorry, Your Honor. I'm sure.
Yes, you'll be a lot sorrier if this pistol chances to go off.
Don't shoot, sir. Please don't shoot. I've got a wife and 4 children, sir.
What is the meaning of these?
Here you and a young lady just step down. You'll know very soon.
But this is an outrage.
The father must do as he says.
But... Oh, yes. Yes, I suppose so.
Keep calm, that coachman.
I have been broad daylight monstrous.
Young lady...
Thank you, monsieur.
You'd better come along, too, Kirsten.
Yes, sir. Certainly, sir. Wife and 4 kids, sir. So to 4.
Two minutes later, in a hut hidden among the trees, Deschamps listened, open-mouthed with surprise, as a certain proposal was put in.
Monsieur Deschamps, it will be good enough to remove your outer garment.
What?
You heard me, sir.
This is absurd. I refuse.
I would remind you, monsieur, that this pistol is loose.
Please, do as you are told, please.
All right, then. But only under protest, Matthew. Under the very firmest protest.
In the next few minutes, quite a number of personalities and garments were changed. Then finally, we're in the carriage on our way. Suzette in her wedding dress, Rosemary in the duplicate wedding dress, with 2 very thick veils over their heads, and I in the somewhat unusual role of a proud father.
Mr. Berkeley, how can you hope to succeed? Even if fear agrees to deception, what of his father?
Have no fear. We are not without our resources, mademoiselle.
And what of you, isn't there?
At this precise moment, a carriage containing none other than the Honorable Rollo Surtees, who I venture to think will not be entirely unwelcome at this moment, should not be more than half a mile behind us. He, too, you see, has a rendezvous at the church today. Now, that leaves one other carriage to arrive, the one containing Pierre and his wife.
But, Sir Percy, I do not understand.
You will, my dears. You will. The brides were 10 minutes late, but that, of course, is the traditional privilege of brides. And one of the bridegrooms was even later, because at that precise moment, only a mile away from the church, Le Toile's carriage, by a strange coincidence, had suffered a similar fate at the hands of abominable Highlanders.
Monsieur Le Toile, I was good enough to remove your outer garments.
What?
You heard me, sir.
What? This is absurd. I refuse.
I would remind you, monsieur, this pistol is loaded.
Papa, please do as you're told. Please.
Well, all right, then. But only under protest, Matthew. Under the very firmest protest.
Meanwhile, I was trying to calm an exceedingly agitated parson when, thank heavens, Pierre and his new father arrived.
Rosemary, I never believed it possible, despite what they told me. But here you are.
My dearest.
Here comes there, whether times are wasting.
Oh, so this is the young lady. And very charming.
Oh,
very charming.
Yes, this is it.
I'll explain later. Oh, well, you know, it's most irregular. You should not be meeting to the actual ceremony, you know. Oh, yes, and what's more, you're over 10 minutes late. Now, do feel
bothered. Oh, just a moment.
Who
am I, sir? The father of this young lady, of course.
I can't be bothered with you now, sir. I have a ceremony to perform.
Oh, it is concerning the ceremony. I must talk to you in private, if you please.
Oh, dear, very well, very well.
The truth of the matter, my dear fellow, is that there has been a slight mistake. In fact, to put it simply, the two people you are here to marry want to be married, but two different people.
What?
It is perfectly simple, my dear fellow. As far as you are concerned, it is only to your advantage.
Really, I do not understand.
It is very, very simple. You see, it is two weddings instead of one. It is an old French custom to have a little surprise in these affairs. Both the bride and the groom are to be married, but not to each other.
It may be a French custom, sir, but in England it is quite impossible.
Allow me to correct you, for both possible and profitable. Le Toile, my friend, Le Toile.
Yes, my dear, Deschamps.
That bag of gold. No, let me... naturally, for a double wedding, that will be a double fee.
Oh, I do begin to see your point.
And so, a few minutes later, down the aisle walked bride and groom, and groom and bride. I had the privilege of giving away my daughter, Suzette, and Fuchs did the honors for Rosemary. As for Pierre's father, but just at that moment, the door of the church was flung open, revealing the two real fathers.
Stop!
Good Lord, thank you. That's torture.
Stop this, I say. I am the bride's father.
I am the father of the groom.
I really don't care who you are. The wedding has taken place. And you are in church, and you are in your undergarments. Now, please, get out. How champagne can help in these situations, particularly when dealing with Frenchmen. I give you a toast to the happy pair.
I echo that toast. It is terrible. They are married and they are not married.
Married and not married? What do you mean?
Mr. Deschamps is perfectly right. The parents' consent has not yet been given.
Then they are not married.
Oh, yes, they are married, too. In our family for 400 years, we have always been married or unmarried. Something must be done.
Oui, but what?
Oh, that's perfectly simple. Just sign these documents.
But I am not quite sure.
There will be another fee, of course.
Oh, well, in that case, it is quite simple.
Sir Percy, may I give you another toast? To those without whom this would not be such a happy day. The Friends of Freedom. The League of the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring, with music composed and conducted by Sidney Dorsch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.